I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living together. Welcome to episode 8 of the Relentless Pursuit podcast. This one is titled Family Road Trip. This week, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We've had some Q&A formats and some...
A few fun interviews now.
So now we're going to switch it up, and we wanted to give you guys an opportunity to get to know us a little bit better for those of you who don't know us. I know that we do have a lot of friends and family that are listening and watching these on YouTube, but we do have some people who don't know us as well. So we thought, what better way to get to know us is to maybe share about us, a little bit about our story, a little about who we are, and we thought maybe the best way to do that would be to capture it. By retelling the story of our family road trip that we just took for the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were, I would say, really fortunate to have some time set aside that we could go on a family road trip. Each year, we like to take a little pilgrimage down to Texas. I have some family down in Texas that at least once a year, we like to load up the kids in the family van and swing down and say hello. But our trip morphed a little bit more this year. We've been at home for a long time now, and one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we took advantage of is summertime and some of the time that we have available to try to do something a little bit different. And we were disappointed, like many other families, when we realized that the local pool, which we usually live at during the summer, would be closed, and many other favorite venues and favorite activities. And so we were trying to think, how can we look back at the summer of 2020 and still have some favorite memories and experiences that are going to be cherished by us? So we were looking at our trip down to Texas to visit family, but we also received a very kind invitation from some friends of ours who live out in Colorado to spend a short time with them as well. And so I kind of started dreaming of this, you know, quasi cross-country road trip, you know, National Lampoon style, where we would leave from here and spend a pretty significant amount of time on the road and away from home and with friends and with family and doing and seeing some things that we don't normally get to do, all while still navigating pandemic environment and trying to do it in a safe but a memorable kind of way. So I pitched it to Rosanna. Hey, I have a great idea. Let's spend hours and hours upon end in the family minivan with all the kids. And it didn't take too much convincing, but there was definitely some logistics that needed to be laid down to make sure that it worked. So what ended up happening was that we decided we would leave home, we would drive to Mount Rushmore and visit that, and then spend some time after that driving down and spending time in Colorado. And then from there, we have several friends and family members in Colorado. We try to visit as many of them as we can, and then head down to Texas, spend some more time with my family there, and then head home after that's all said and done.
So altogether, it was...
It was 2 full weeks.
2 full weeks, 14 days, over 3,300 miles in a Dodge Grand Caravan with our four kids, to which many people who we, and we kind of made this decision maybe, what, 7 days out from when we left. We just kind of were like, well, okay, let's dig in. And so when people heard what we were doing, they thought we were a little crazy.
That's everyone's first reaction, like with all your kids and you're driving?
Yeah. So when he pitched the idea, he said it didn't take much convincing. He often has big ideas, great ideas too, some that are not so great. But he pitched this idea, 14 days, South Dakota, Colorado, Texas, the kids, the car, the miles. And I just kind of like slow blinked.
Just took it all in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. And then I just said, why not? Like, what else are we doing? What else do we have going on? And we've been fortunate to have that time in that space now. So it really was the perfect opportunity to gather our group and go. And one of the great things about being together for so long, we just celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary on the launch date of our podcast. And knowing each other for almost 22 years is that I trust him. And so trusting that we could do this and we could do it together is just... is great. It's just a it's great like
there's
place
some
to
logistics
be.
To make this happen, but really like it's well within our reach, and there's a convenient kind of division of labor, and after doing many things together over the years, a lot of it kind of falls into place as we assume responsibilities for different things to make it happen.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing about this trip is that he came up with this idea, and then we know each other's strengths. So I know his strength is he's going to navigate it. He's going to get us there. He's going to have that all planned out. I couldn't even tell you which direction east is from where I'm currently sitting. So like that is not in my wheelhouse. That is not something I'm good at. And I trust him to take care of that. And he got us there flawlessly. But I also know that means that packing up 6 people for 14 days in multiple climates was going to be a challenge. We had, there's 6 of us in the car, so it's not like we have extra room to stuff because we have a lot of people.
Rosanna likes this sort of challenge too. So it's like, all right, babe, here's the task. We've got 6 people, X number of days. You get 2 suitcases and like 1 duffel bag
and a cooler
and this much space. And she's like, okay, it sounds like. Would you compare it to like one of those reality TV show?
Yes, like Survivor. You know, it's like, all right, what will we take? What will we leave? What are my luxury items? Like, what can we fit? Mm-hmm. Who has what at what house? Can I borrow a blow dryer? Am I taking it? My big thing is always shoes. Jordan travels in 1 pair of shoes. I need like 9 pairs to go. But we creatively made a plan for, getting all of these warm weather, hot weather, cold weather, layers, sunscreen, bug spray. And then that added layer of face coverings, gloves, toilet seat covers for public restrooms, masks. Mm-hmm. I mean, antibacterial. I mean, we were stocked and we planned, and he trusted me to handle all of that. And so then even loading the car, I load it so I know where it is, and I'm constantly shuffling and reshuffling the clothes,
like
the clean clothes, the dirty clothes.
My job to carry the suitcases out.
And it's my job to kind of facilitate making sure everybody has what they need.
Yeah. But I like this too, because I don't think, we're really not just talking about the road trip here, but this is sort of a microcosm of a lot of the experiences and tasks and goals that we set for ourselves. So it's like on the road trip of life. I mean, what are some of the lessons from this particular experience that also pertain to some of the bigger things that we're doing on a more day-to-day basis as well?
Yeah, I mean, and for us, for our family to work, it's always been that we need to be doing it together.
We got to be a team.
We always have to be a team. And what's nice is we kind of know where each other's strengths and weaknesses are. And so where one kind of falters, the other one picks up.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's good or bad, but like I handle all the driving and directions. But the moment you tried to give me directions for something specific, it just we ended up going the wrong way. Then I'm getting upset. I just pull over and look at the map anyway. And just because the way the way you read that and the way you communicate that is just kind of off my chart of how I process that. And then same thing with any of the suitcases. I went into one and I was looking for something for the kids, and you're like, it's not in this one, it's that one. And, you're gonna mess this up. And those kind of became almost our strict domains. And if we interfered with the other person's, it's like we're going to mess it up in some ways. We got a system, just trust the system, and let me handle this because this is my job. And I think there were other smaller things like that too, even just looking at the financial end of it. I'm looking at how many gas stops are we going to need to make, and how much gas should we have on hand, and how much should we expect this to cost overall? Is that even feasible? And then I know you had other components even during the trip as well that were just managed often without anyone's knowledge of it, and it just fit it together.
But I think that's what's great about having a partner, having a teammate in it, is that you can complement each other, right? We were staying in the homes of other people, so even just taking a moment to, bring thank you cards with us and, writing a thank you card and placing it, it's those little things that, I would think of that you might not, or that you would think of and that I wouldn't, planning gas stops or rest stops, totally off, my radar, but you've got it covered. And
downloading kids' podcasts or silly songs to keep them somewhat entertained.
The different ways in which we were able to help our kids have a good experience and what roles we play in the creation of the family road trip were important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's next?
All right, what's next? So let's talk a little bit more about our trip.
Yeah.
So we left here. We left here bright and early on a Sunday morning at before 6 a.m.
Yeah. And kids were all very excited. And I think they forget, like, one thing I'm reminded of is that they forget how bored and uncomfortable they are in the van for long periods of time. Because they are, and they're not complaining the whole time, but by the time you get to the destination, they've forgotten all about being on the road. And so they look forward to the next time that they have a chance to, like, be on the road. Because they really, like, kids tend to remember the, and I think it's true for all of us, they tend to remember the more positive things, and the boring or even the negative, I think, just fades away.
Yeah, we left, and what's their first exciting thing is that anytime we leave for a road trip, we stop and we get some Dunkin' Donut donuts, and that's like their breakfast in the car, and like they look forward to that, and then they're looking forward to mom buys all of these snacks for the road trip that we don't normally have,
and so like all about the snacks,
and we don't have an entertainment center in our car. We don't have DVD players or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we do pack an iPad and attach it to the back of a seat. But mm-hmm. they have to ride. I mean, we really make them sweat it out. What was it, like 8 hours?
It's probably at least 8 hours.
Before we let them watch a movie.
Yeah.
And so we have,
But they weren't begging for one either. They were looking outside. They were talking to each other. We were randomly starting road trip games, listening to goofy songs, taking naps. I mean, there's so much to do.
So much to do. And so that's
why... My favorite was just how often they would be asking you for things. And there's four of them. So one of them would say, I need a napkin. And the other one needs to put something in the garbage bag. And you're just constantly like turning around from the passenger seat.
Yeah, that was the first 5 hours of my trip consisted of me turning around.
I'm just driving.
Turning, he's got the helm, he's driving, he doesn't hear a thing. I need this. She touched me. Can we watch a movie? Is it time for another snack? It's kind of like when you start summer vacation, or when the kids were then home like all spring with school, and you're trying to like devise that like system and that plan, and this is how you do it, or asking for permission to like open the window. It's like all of these things that you really don't want to deal with. But after the first 5 hours, they really settled in.
They really settled in, yeah. It became smooth cruise after that. But, as we went through the trip itself, once we arrived at our destination in Colorado, we got to do some unique things that it's really difficult to replicate in Illinois. One of the greatest things I appreciated was that we had a chance to spend time outdoors, but outdoors in kinds of terrain and opportunity to see some things that are just really, really fun and unique and beautiful. And we had gorgeous weather as well, which I was very grateful for. So it's not like there was some huge event waiting for us at the destination. It was a chance to be with people that we loved and to do some activities with them and within the location that are a little bit different, but enough to make some memories for that. And, another big thing I noticed too was that there was really, all of our screen time was drastically reduced. The kids, ours, and we weren't even really aware of it, because we were having a genuinely good time with one another and with the activities that we were doing. And that's worth it, I mean, I think sometimes when we're in our routines, there's maybe a reliance or even an over-reliance on screens for information and for work and for entertainment. And that's not all negative, but it is pleasant to be able to hit the pause button and enjoy not staring at a screen, but deriving genuine value from the people that you're with and the activities that you're doing.
Right. You weren't checking work email. I wasn't checking work email. I wasn't really posting to social media. Most of our drive, we went from here to Mount Rushmore, and then Mount Rushmore, so South Dakota through Wyoming to Colorado. I didn't even have service. Mm-hmm. So like I couldn't just,
It's actually a little scary when you're in the middle of nowhere.
Really, there's nothing. There's like some tumbleweed. There's like nothing. There's just some cows, and you have no service to like look at a map.
Yeah.
But like not incessantly checking to see what other people were doing or, what was going on in the world. It was just nice.
And there's no need to feel productive.
Yeah. It was just nice to like sit back and get away. And I think that's something that we try and do every summer, is we try and kind of flip the script, flip the schedule, like live outside of our routines, which we thrive on routines as a family, as individuals. But it's a great time to kind of break that routine as a way to kind of like dive into something more, something unique, something better.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think we've talked about how important it is to value the ordinary But it's nice to, at the same time, get away from the ordinary, and whether it's big or small, you know, find a different kind of experience. And in many ways, I mean, at least for me, and I know from some of the things the kids have said, like it's whet their appetite for more. I mean, Colorado is gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, the mountains and the waterfalls and the hiking and the butterflies and mm-hmm. even just like the animals that are there are different than the animals here, and watching mm-hmm. our kids, you know, pick wildflowers on a hike for 4 miles and mm-hmm. throwing stones into like a rushing river.
Yeah, that was the big hit of the trip, was throwing rocks into water.
Well, we have 3 boys, so right. I mean, that makes sense.
So, but I think some of that translates back to, so now is our ordinary, does it have the chance to be disrupted or to modify based on some of the new things that we took time to have an appreciation for?
Yeah.
Got to go find some water and some rocks, at least.
Some water and some rocks. But I think the other part of being gone and staying with people that we knew, I mean, these are lifelong friends that we've had. They were in our wedding. We were mm-hmm. in their wedding. They moved away. We haven't seen them a lot. But even just being able to, like, reconnect mm-hmm. Several hours together, several days, allows for, you know, a new kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not that quick relationship where it's like that quick exchange.
Right.
It's not like, all right, catch me up on, like, you know, everything that's going on. I mean, we had time to just,
like,
kind of...
you have a lot of time.
You have
together.
A lot of time, and you can talk about the things that matter and the things that are on your mind, or, you know, tell me more about that. And I think that's what's nice by quieting some of the other things is, you know, even just pouring into people a little bit more mm-hmm. And seeing where they're at, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. And we're very grateful for their hosting and their, because I know we put things aside to be able to travel, but
and so
they did as well. Yeah.
And the other thing I thought was also interesting is, you know, spending time with other people in close proximity, like in their house, like what you learn from each other or what you can observe by being with them. And so them saying, you know, saying things about the way our relationship is with our kids that they would notice that mm-hmm. I don't know that, I guess I didn't think people would pick up on, mm-hmm. but like even having that like said back to you is kind of like an eye-opening.
Yeah, that's a nice little like outsider perspective on some right. of the more intimate nuances of your family that are helpful to
but
see.
But even how I learned from them while I was there, like, you mm-hmm. know, you kind of take it in, you think, wow, I'd like to be more like that. Like you mm-hmm. don't have that opportunity when you're just... In passing,
or you
look or going out for drinks or right. something like that.
Or someone's highlight reel on Facebook or Instagram, right?
You get a little bit more about their heart and, you know, where they're headed. So I think that was really great, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we had a beautiful time. We saw Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. We hiked. We swam in a lake. We kayaked. We paddleboarded. I mean, we did a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Then we headed to Texas, and we got to do some other fun things with family. Mm-hmm. Our daughter got to go horseback riding, and there was some pool time, which we're not going to really get here this summer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the highlight reel of our trip, right? If you check our Instagram feed or even my personal one, like, you see, like, all of the great moments. Mm-hmm. But there were some not so great moments.
And these tend to stand out a little bit more as well, ironically.
But they stand out like more later, like yeah. in the moment, like you're not really, you know, trekking and, you know, thinking that it's anything important, but, you know, they're unpleasant at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were more than fortunate. We had no car trouble. We had no one, you know, was injured or there was nothing like that. Mm-hmm. We were able to stay healthy and safe the entire time. So mm-hmm. that's great. But, you know, we talked about like the first 5 hours of the road trip of the kids, like getting them to settle down. It's kind of like a circus.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there were like multiple long drives. So there were multiple instances of that. Our 2-year-old is, we were gone 2 weeks. I think he grew 3 inches. He
his
popped four
doubled.
Teeth
yeah.
and his vocab doubled. So we were 8 hours into a 15-hour drive and I get, Mom, I'm done. And then he just starts crying. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at him and said, yeah, I'm done too, but we got, you know, 7
I had to
more
reassure,
hours, buddy.
Yeah, Rosanna, as well as our 2-year-old, that there was
we
still a lot ahead of
just
us.
Just got to buckle up, buckle down, and keep going. But one of the things, where were we? Were we headed to South Dakota?
I think we were in Minnesota at the time.
Okay, so we, from Illinois to Wisconsin over to Minnesota, making our way to South Dakota. And our daughter says to us, Mom, I don't feel so good. And so, you know, when they're little, you don't really know what that means. Mm-hmm. So I said, like, your tummy doesn't feel good? Yeah. Okay, like, you got to go potty or like you're going to puke? I think I'm going to puke. Okay. We're not even in the first leg of our trip. Someone's going to puke. I, of course, had, you know, all of our things in the car. I mean,
well prepared.
Paper towels, had, you know, garbage bags. I'm like, hurrying up, opening a garbage bag. I put it over her face, and she's just... So I'm turned around in the front seat. He's on the expressway or the highway, whatever you call it. I'm holding a garbage bag open, and she's just, like, looking straight at me like she's going to vomit, like, you know, into the bag. Like, not into the bag, into my face instead of in the bag. And all I could say was, don't puke on me. Don't puke. Put your head down. Puke into the bag. Just puke. Don't puke on me.
And poor thing. She started throwing up right there in the van. And so I'm driving, and it's almost as though she's in my ear. And all I hear is her breathing and puking into the bag. And I hear you saying, like, look down. Don't look at me. Look down. And then she's muttering to me, like, can't we get off the highway? I'm like, I, there's nowhere to pull over right here. So, like, sure enough, I finally we get to an exit, and I pull over at the first parking lot that's there. And, of course, it's a strip club that we end up pulling over in. And so she, like, finishes throwing up, like, in the parking lot of this strip club. And
all into the garbage bag.
Into the bag, yeah. Yeah, it was very, it was brilliant. Very clean experience. And that was the first of a few instances where, unfortunately, she got a little car sick. But she rallied really well, and we were proud of her. There was another instance, too, in Colorado where the same thing happened. And we're going through all these mountain passes and weaving up and down. And I remember we had pulled over at some point as well. And as she's having this unpleasant experience, I'm looking around. I'm like, this is a really gorgeous spot to stop and throw up at, you know? And actually, I didn't tell you this. I don't think I told you this, but I wanted to prepare a bingo card for our road trip, like a parent bingo card for all the things that could happen there on a road trip. And one of the squares that you would have the option of putting was going to be a kid throwing up in the car. And that was, and there were other squares too with things that had happened, but that stood out to me. And I regretted the moment that, you know, after she was done throwing up, that I hadn't actually finished preparing that bingo card for us to play. Because afterwards,
just so you could check it off,
we would have checked that box. But that was, that's going to be something that stands out. And she can laugh at, you know, right now as well, because it's a peculiar kind of incident that stands out, and we never really thought about it or prepared for it or anticipated it, but it happened, and we kind of have this funny little story that we'll probably retell on any other future road trips too.
I mean, there's a couple others too, like we've hiked 4 miles out up the side of a mountain in Colorado, and one of the kids has to poop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do?
Perfect time.
You know?
Perfect
timing. Well,
there's no outhouse.
Yeah, guys, there's no bathrooms here, so we're going to have to do it outside. And, you know, just that realization and, like, that that, like, fumbling of, you know, you start to sweat a little bit and you're like, okay, how are we going to manage this? And, you know, there's, you know, or you change a poopy diaper on the hike and then you got to carry it with you all the way back, you know? So we did that. You know, there's, you're traveling during a pandemic, so just, you know, how do you get out and, you know, manage a rest stop, and how do you keep your kids safe? And, you know, like, although there are all of these things that could have kept us home and could have kept us back or could have had us, you know, upset and throwing our hands up the air, you know, throwing in the towel, like, mm-hmm. those, we have to expect those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with kids too, but, like, mm-hmm. we can't let those things derail all of the great things and the amazing experience that they're going to have from the summer.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what's important, you know?
Right. And one of our questions that we ask, you know, before we try something big or small is, like, what's the worst that can happen? And, you know, there's some pretty, like, worst things that could happen. You could get in an accident. You could run out of gas in the middle of nowhere. And there's a lot of middle of nowhere. And
we traveled a lot to
the middle of nowhere. Where we were at. And you know, there's other dangers, and I think, you know, part of it is anticipating those and planning as best as you can for contingencies that may arise, but not letting those fears or those doubts or those unknowns overshadow the positive potential in the opportunity that's there.
And I think that's what's great about you, is you're always looking for that positive potential. And okay, yeah, things could go wrong, but we also live in an age where usually those things can be rectified pretty quickly.
Right.
So, I mean, all in all, it was a really great trip.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that is not in our outline or in our notes or something we discussed was, you know, 14 days, all six of us together with, you know, no real separate distinction from our kids during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that could be a lot.
You mean like us?
Us separate from our kids. Like, okay. We were in the car together. Mm-hmm. We went, how many hotel rooms? Two hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So in two of those situations, I was sleeping in the bed with one kid. You were sleeping in the bed with another.
Yeah. 2-year-olds sleep great when you share a bed with them. I recommend it to everybody.
And in one of the places we stayed, the pack and play in our room. So just really not being able to like have any distance from our kids, which is obviously not the end of the world or a bad thing, but mm-hmm. you know, loving each other through that and like finding ways to just be one-on-one or have a conversation without being interrupted, or you know, having some time away to think or plan or work or mm-hmm. I think my favorite thing was when I got in the car for the road trip, there was a Ziploc bag that Jordan has, I don't know, how many questions were there?
I think there were 50 questions.
50 questions that he had typed up, cut up into little strips. They were folded. They were in this Ziploc bag as ways to, like, discuss and answer questions and talk.
Little icebreaker questions. Some were deep. Some were silly. Some actually color-coded for, I called it nap time only questions, and we actually didn't pull any of those because none of the kids ever, all the kids never slept at once for us to have what I would consider to be a pretty exciting conversation from one of those questions. But yeah, I figured there's a lot of time that you and I would just be sitting next to each other in the car, and I didn't want that opportunity to pass without and we could just talk, but to have some kind of some goofy things to at least get interesting thoughts and interesting conversations started.
And I just thought that was so great, like how you thought of me before the trip, because you didn't tell me that you were doing that. I had no idea. And then so when there was a lull and the kids were quiet, or there was a movie on, or they all like randomly passed out, or some of them passed out and someone was reading, we would just pull one from the bag, and some of them were like hard and like really thoughtful, and some of them were silly. And it was just like, you know, just a very small way to show that you care and that like our time together is important too. And even though it's not us on a beach in Mexico, which I dream about all the time,
nice, yeah.
And that I, you know, ask for every 3 to 4 weeks, when's the next time you think we can, you know, vacation alone together? It means a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really great.
Yeah. Well, you got to make the most of those times and those opportunities. So like we said, this is really not meant to just summarize a fun family road trip, but it's meant to be thinking of some of those experiences as a bit of a microcosm or an analogy for what I say. It's kind of lame, but like the road trip of life, and both the travel and the destination and the activities and the people and the values along the way. And so when we're kind of living out life, I feel like in some ways we are in a vehicle together. And it's up to us to develop that teamwork, to find the activities and the memories, to find even the inconvenient things that are truly the memory makers and the things that we end up laughing about and enjoying later on, and make the stories that we retell. You know, a chance to connect and get away from screens, get away from work. And I think that there's a great opportunity to do that within a 14-day road trip period. But a lot of that translates into how we try to facilitate just the day-to-day life and the long-term journey that we're all on.
Yeah. And I think it was just a breath of fresh air for all of us, because even coming home, I just feel like things are a little bit different. I feel like the kids, we were all home together before this for a while, but the kids seem to have clicked in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a little bit older and they're a little bit different than we left. And there is something that was so special about it that I'm so glad that we did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it makes you appreciate what you come home to more, and also, you know, you're changed by a new experience, and I feel that, and I'm looking forward to more new experiences ahead as well.
Yeah, so thank you for listening to our story. I know mm-hmm. it's, you know, nothing super riveting or off the charts, but I think, you know, talking about tackling life as a team, you know, expecting the unexpected, preparing the best that you can, and embracing the here and now are all things that we need to continue to do
mm-hmm.
to be successful.
Absolutely. So you can check out and learn a little bit more about this show from our show notes. You can find those at therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com. And you could also tell us about any of your favorite road trip or vacation experiences that you may have had as an adult or maybe even as a kid. We'd love to hear about those. You can check out these episodes as well as bonus content on YouTube. And we'd love to hear any feedback or any reviews that you may have as well. If you haven't yet, please leave us a 5-star rating. And we are looking forward to sharing the rest of our season 1 episodes with you in the near future. But thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.